Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. And Ray, I don't want to overstate anything, and you will probably jump all over me for this, but I'll tell you what, last week of high school football, I felt like it was kind of the start of an entire new era. I mean, not only for the obviousness of, you know, we got all these new divisions, more teams were debuting last week, so we kind of got our first taste of some of these new teams in their new places, but I just felt so much happened that, you know, we might not have seen the last couple of years. I mean, for starters, Palo Verde goes down to Centennial, only their second loss to a state opponent that's not Bishop Gorman since 2009. That was amazing to see. Canyon Springs, to me, I think has entered the elite. I think last year they were getting close. I mean, they won their division, but I feel like Las Vegas was always kind of the team to beat over in the Northeast. I think now officially after DJ Pumphrey, rushes for 347 yards, I think they're the team to beat. And we also saw some of these teams that we've just been picking against every single week these last couple of years win some games. Most notably, Mojave knocks off Desert Pines. So I thought this is a week we're going to look back at and see kind of a shifting gears in the local high school football community.
The worst part of this whole thing is our whole show is based on us disagreeing. And I agree with a lot of what you said. You were at Canyon Springs. You saw the Pioneers run all over Foothill. What a great performance by Pumphrey. They're here. They're going to make a run for it. You could even argue that they're going to go to the state championship game. This year, the way the region breaks down, the Sunrise Region championship game will also be the state semifinals. So you could argue Liberty versus Canyon for a spot at state. I don't know if I agree with this, and Hunky, I'm sorry, that Canyon has made it to the elite level, because for me, they'd have to be there again next year, and I could see them taking a huge drop when Pumphrey leaves. Fair to say?
Fair enough, but I think that they have some juniors playing on that team too.
Not so. Like that kid. That kid's dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll have to see. But I felt like the big difference was, I mean, we know that Pumphrey's been great the last few years, but I felt the huge difference was their line looked good. They were actually blocking some people. Their defense looked great. I felt like those were kind of the problems in the past years. So, I mean, even though DJ Pumphrey had, I've anointed it the best individual performance I've ever witnessed at a high school game, actually have been there, I think it was kind of the surrounding parts that made it so that Canyon Springs looked much better than they have in past years.
And, you know, of course, DJ Pumphrey, the San Diego State commit, I think he's better than San Diego State. I hate to say it. I mean, I think this kid could be a Pac-12 type of tailback. Maybe committed too early. We'll see if the verbal holds up. I just know that the way he ran and the way he looked, the guy's got legit 4.45 speed, and now he's finally starting to fill into his body a little bit. And if the game against Foothill, which we'll say lost a lot on defense last year, was battling some injuries, not the same team as years past, but if he could continue the performances, sky's the limit for this kid.
Yeah, I think I texted you this, that I wonder what would have happened if maybe he had a little bit more consistency in the offensive line these first 2 years. I really think he would have gotten even more recruiting attention. Of course, for all intents and purposes, his recruiting's over now. He's going to San Diego State. I'm sure he'll do great there, but I really think he could have been even more highly touted if you put him on a team like a Palo Verde or a Bishop Gorman the last couple of years, where these guys, I mean, they had guys on the line that probably would have made him look better.
They will, and I'll disagree with you there, but does he touch the ball at either of those schools?
Well, this is totally hypothetical.
Okay, totally hypothetical.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, okay, yeah, hypothetically, yes. If he had a better line, hypothetically, yes, he would have put up more yards. But B, he's got the keys to the Cadillac at Canyon, and he's going to drive it wherever he wants.
I guess.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, let me ask you a quick question. Something that was been bothering me a little bit. When DJ Pumphrey scores, what does he do? Does he give the ball back to the official?
Actually, this is kind of an interesting anecdote about this. He seemed like he just gave the ball back to the official. I didn't notice anything. But apparently on one of his touchdown runs, he had three touchdown runs of more than 70 yards, two more that were from 40 to 50 out. On one of the touchdown runs, I guess he kind of slowed up before he went in the end zone and pointed to the stands. And Hunky Cooper, the coach at Canyon Springs, just did not like that. He went ballistic and told DJ that if he does that, I think there are a couple expletives in there, but if you do that again, your butt is going to be standing next to me on the sidelines the rest of the game. You didn't earn that run. The offensive line earned that run. Celebrate with your teammates. Don't point.
Who was he pointing to? What if he was pointing to like a sick student, a classmate or somebody?
Hey, I'm just saying, okay. I'm just relaying Hunky Cooper's message.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at is the touchdown celebrations for me I can't figure them out, dude. When I was a kid, you scored, you gave the ball to the referee, you got in line for the PAT. Now, if you score, you do this whole thing where, like, you hit bodies with the other guy 5 feet in the air. What's it called?
You kind of just jump and hit back and hit backs with each other.
Hit backs with each other. Or a lot of religious kids out there, Case. All these kids are kneeling in the end zone and praying. And I don't know if that's them following Tim Tebow or if we've got the most religious amount of high school football players in the Valley. I can't figure it out. And, you know, I liked before when they raised the roof. That was my favorite. I just can't figure it. I think it's cool. It makes for good photos. Like, every photographer that's out, like at a Gorman game, for example, when Gorman scores, you know, like Ryan Smith, Jameer Tillman, Tajon Allen are going to go jump in the air and run into each other in the back or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. And you thought this was a totally new thing. But
I thought it was new. I don't know.
I said even when I was in high school that teams did that, and I think we did that. So I don't think that's necessarily new.
Did you get involved in that? I know you didn't score being a lineman, but did you get some
I would be involved in some pretty big celebrations. I would go run up and hit whoever scored. Sometimes knock them down, you know. It's probably pretty stupid.
See, I like when the younger, smaller kid, like a DJ Pumphrey, runs up to a big lineman like you were, and you kind of, like, raise him up a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. In the form of a hug. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did you ever score a touchdown in high school?
I never did score a touchdown in high school. No. Okay. My last touchdown would have come in middle school.
Yes. It's
depressing.
As a tight end?
Yeah, as a tight end.
I've
scored a defensive touchdown before, okay, too.
See, I never played football, as everybody knows, but we played turf football in the street sometimes, and I was money in the bank, long. Best hands. I think people underestimated my hands. I could really catch the rock.
I will admit, though, and I don't want to get too controversial here. I'm not calling out anyone's faith, but it can't be a coincidence that in the last 2 years, all these kids start praying after they score a touchdown and everything. It's Tebow, and I think like one or two people do it, then it's cool, and now everyone is pointing to the heavens.
Yeah, now kneeling. I'm a religious guy. I'm totally down with it. I have no problem, especially if it's somebody who's really overcome some adversity and finally has gotten a touchdown. But hopefully, I mean, they're following it up by going on Sunday at least for an hour, right?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't that be part of the equation?
Maybe they're just spiritual and not religious.
There's a difference?
There's a difference. Huge
between
difference.
Spiritual and religious?
Yeah, there's a gigantic difference.
Don't you have to be spiritual to be religious?
Probably, but you can just not you can believe in a higher power and believe in God and not like religion.
So did the higher power get you to the end zone and prevent the other kid from tackling you? Why I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. And it has I agree with you. It's really blown up these past couple of years. I would say that might be the most popular celebration is the kneel and the little pray or sign
amen.
Of the cross or something.
Amen. Amen, brother. Let's talk about the Centennial game. Centennial Palo. I was there. Centennial, huge monkey off its back, 24-20. They finally beat Palo. I absolutely loved the my wife calling on the other line. Absolutely loved the emotion the Centennial kids had after the game. It hurt so bad for them to get knocked out by Palo in the playoffs last year. They worked hard all offseason. They were rewarded with the victory. And now the question is, Case, is Centennial an elite team like your Sea Springs Pioneers? Are they creme of the creme in the Sunset? What does this victory do for them? We know what it did for them as a team. You know, huge hurdle. We overcame our first game. We beat our rivals. We overcame our loss last year.
I think they are, and maybe when I was saying elite team, maybe you misunderstood me a little bit. I don't even necessarily mean they're an elite program and going to be on top every year, but I think Centennial and Canyon Springs, with what they did on Friday night, I think they proved that they are a top team this year. You know, top five, maybe top six, but I think both are top five. I think to beat Palo Verde was just a huge, huge deal. I mean, like you said, it took a great performance of – close to flawless performance, I guess, and, you know, getting something done at the end. I mean, to see the transformation, they got blown out against Palo this time last year. They come back, nearly beat them in the playoffs. And, I mean, that just shows you dedication and not to be too cliche, but just dedicating themselves and hard work, and look what happens. I'm ready to put them up at the top.
Here's the deal. Great win for Centennial. I'm not going to take anything away from them, but they're a flawed team. One drive, you know, back-to-back offensive line, the guy jumps early. Okay, first game jitters, not that big of a deal. Slow. They're a very slow team. This team is not going to win you any track meets. You put them on the field with Canyon, there's no way they're going to chase down DJ Pumphrey. No chance at all. So
you're saying Canyon would beat Centennial?
I think Canyon would beat Centennial. Okay. Now, I will tell you this. Centennial is big, strong, and physical. They don't shy away from contact. And you could tell the difference in the overall strength of the program right now from last year and the year before. With that said, hopefully they don't read their press clippings too much, because I think this week, we'll talk about it later, against Durango, they could be in some real trouble, because Marcus Williams has got that 4.440 speed. And I just thought that Centennial was so flawed in some of the mistakes they made, and they were able to be shut down by the Palo defense until that last drive when they came through. Maybe they were in better shape. Maybe they finally figured it out. I will say they've got a pretty good balance of run-pass. Kobe Newton is very aggressive. He pounds the rock real hard. And credit for them for not giving up. I will say, though, that I just think they're too slow, and I think this Durango game is going to present a huge problem for them. The overall team speed is as bad as it could be.
I think that you overrate team speed more than anyone I have ever met in my entire life. They're
the Liberty Patriots of the Sunset.
Yeah, and Liberty pretty much won every game you picked against them.
Liberty's hot right now.
Look, I think a big thing with both of these teams, Canyon Springs and Centennial, is just these kids that are winning these games have had time to be up on the team and develop. I mean, if you read your story and the guys that stood out, I mean, of course, Kobe Newton had the game-winning touchdown, but Austin Turley had that long pass to get into position. We all know Trajan Peely is just an animal. All those guys have had years on the varsity. They've developed. They've gotten up to this point. It's the same thing at Canyon Springs with guys like Pumphrey and Tobias Carson and those guys. I think there's something to be said for not only getting stronger in the offseason, but being on the field and growing up that way.
I agree with you. Kids that played as sophomores, we've talked about them the last 2 years, and here they go. They make a statement on Friday night. Big win from Centennial. You'll see, folks, our top tens on the site right now. We moved Centennial all the way up to four. Now I can't even remember.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to
remember.
Gorman,
Liberty, Arborview. Case's Arborview Aggies with a big opening night win against Desert Oasis.
Shut them out.
Either Arbor's really, really good, and I'm not giving them enough credit, or Dio is really, really, really not as good as they were last year.
I just, I guess we'll transition into the next topic I wanted to talk about. I just cannot understand how you are not giving Arborview any credit. To kind of give some backup to this.
Go ahead.
You were
Throw
watching,
me under the bus.
You were watching ESPN yesterday, Daphne, Traditional Power in Alabama, play Spanish Fort. I was sitting writing a UNLV football story and also had it on. And you tweeted that five teams...
We weren't together.
We were not together, okay. But you tweeted that five teams in Vegas could beat either of these teams. And I almost jumped off the couch when I heard that. You said Gorman, Palo, Centennial, Liberty...
And Canyon.
Number one, I couldn't believe you. If you believe those teams are beating it, you can't put Arborview in there. Because I'm telling you right now, Arborview would beat Canyon Springs, would probably beat Liberty, and is definitely going to beat Centennial in a couple weeks, in my opinion. So I can't believe you didn't put them there. But number two, I feel this is why my theory that you overrate speed too much. These defenses were just, every single tackle was just a bigger hit than I've seen in Las Vegas all year. The offensive lines were gigantic and athletic. You got an offensive lines of kids going to Alabama and Auburn and all these SEC schools.
No, none of those kids were going to Alabama. The wide receiver was going to Alabama. How fat some of those kids were?
Yeah, but they're
on
also
the purple
quick on
team?
Their feet.
No way. The purple team was as overrated as it could have possibly have gotten.
Well,
will tell you right now.
That is possible because they're year in, year out a really good team, and maybe they've lost some this year. But I also looked at some rankings, and I know rankings don't mean anything. All the teams that you're saying beat them, aside from Gorman, are in like the top 3,000 in the nation. Well, they're in like the top 500. So I think there's something to be said for that.
The Max Preps rankings, which is done by a computer, not a human being.
I trust computers more than humans when it comes to stuff like that. I
totally understand. Maybe the comment was I exaggerated a little bit. Gorman and Liberty, I think, go and match them. No doubt about it. Give me two W's.
Liberty is going to be both those teams.
I think so. Liberty, I was out at a practice, and they are as good as any public school team I've seen in the last decade. They're big, physical. Their two best players are D1 kids in Nakua and Capelli. And I think they're going to go, okay, was my tweet probably inaccurate? Likely.
Okay, well.
But I don't think that the five Vegas teams are just going to show up and be ran over running clock. I think they're with a chance to win.
Clock.
And if they have a chance to prepare, something goes your way. These Alabama teams, it was false start, illegal motion, missed field goal, no offense. Now, maybe it's because
missed field goal?
Yeah, there was a missed field goal.
Yeah, there was a missed field goal. Some of these teams are going to miss field goals, too. That missed field goal was like a 36-yarder. I mean, it wasn't a chip shot.
Oh, well,
it
the kid from Gorman hit a 39-yarder at Aloha Stadium.
Have I not established that Gorman would beat either
Gorman's
of those teams? Gorman is out of it. I'm talking
about
the other four.
The kicker from Centennial, the real deal, by the way. A legit D1. It's Jay Maddox, 1. This kid, 2A, the kid from Centennial. Don't even know his name.
What about the Bonanza kid?
The Bonanza kid is
on the All-Sun team.
He is. Austin Rowe, great kicker. Field goal kicker and punter, he's in the conversation as well. But I tell you, this kid from Centennial has got a good leg. I don't want to belabor the point. You're right on this, Kiefer. Those Alabama teams probably, more than likely, beat the Nevada teams. But it's not by a blowout by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
Now, maybe they were so evenly matched that it got ugly at times because it was such a defensive battle. But I wasn't impressed. And the purple team had dude a bunch of like 380-pound. Did you see their punt formation?
I don't know if I was. I mean, I was writing a story, so I wasn't watching the punt like close enough to see the punt formation. But I was noticing. I just felt like defensively these teams were a lot better than what I've seen in town. And I'm not trying to take anything away.
I can't disagree with you on that either.
Okay, but I feel like we got off topic here. The number one thing I wanted to call you out on was not that you said that was going to happen, because we kind of established on Twitter that maybe you made a reach. What I wanted to call you out on is, how do you not put Arborview in that group? You're going to put Canyon and Centennial. Arborview, when's the last time Centennial beat Arborview? What, maybe 08, 09? What did Arborview do to Liberty last year? I know
Arborview they're
different teams,
made the playoffs for the first time 2 years ago.
Yeah, but okay, that's the last
they lost their best player from last year. Right?
Is 2 years not the most? Is 2 years not what they should be judged off of? Should they be judged off?
What
of the
about this year? What do they
years?
Have right now?
They have
the Hoffman kid moved to New York.
They have the best line.
The Donnie Gaskin kid's off the team. The line is big and physical and
best
good.
Best line aside from Gorman.
And who's the quarterback? And they only run five plays.
They have this great kid, a quarterback who. What did they have a great quarterback last year?
No.
Exactly. They
but
didn't.
The kid knew the offense, and he could run a little bit.
There's no drop-off at quarterback. The Larry Norman kid, I think you're sleeping on a lot. He's a sophomore. It's almost like he's a secret. They're not trying to run him that much. He had like 10 carries against Desert Oasis, I guess, because he didn't
he
need
that much. He follows
me
on Twitter, RayBrewer21.
Yeah, so I think Arborview, much, much, much better than you're giving them credit for. I think they're going to prove it. I'm really looking forward to that Centennial game in a few weeks, because I know you're going to pick Centennial.
Last game of the year, Arborview at Palo could be for the league title, because Centennial's in the other league. What do you put the line at? Somebody asked me on Twitter.
It's at Palo Verde,
at Palo,
right?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I said Arborview is going to win at the beginning of the year, and I can't back off of that now. You can't just back a team. I'm going to talk about another team like that. You can't say that at the beginning of the year and then jump off a team because something happens. I do think it's very unfortunate whatever happened, the situation with Donnie Gaskin. I think that it's almost a pick 'em on a neutral site with Donnie Gaskin. Because we need to see Norman and some of these guys develop a little bit more right now, I would make Palo Verde a touchdown favorite.
Ooh,
but I'm still going
to
take Arborview.
I just think that if Paolo could hang in there, because they've lost two games, they've lost them tough, but they've been in both games, and they play great defense. And you can't throw on 24.
They play good defense. They know the system. I was kind of thinking.
And they threw the ball well against Centennial. That's the worst.
If they played right now, maybe it's three or four, but I'm thinking at the end of the year, Paolo's going to be on a winning streak by then. They aren't losing many more games, although they might lose to Liberty here very soon.
I think they will lose to Liberty, but they beat Bonanza this week.
Yeah. They beat Bonanza this week. I think they're going to have won a lot of games, so I think they'll be the favorite, though.
Okay, let's take care of a little business. Prep Sports Now every week is brought to you by our friends at the Nevada Department of Public Safety. They remind you to keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. That's their slogan. I'll tell you guys, don't text while you drive. Don't check baseball scores while you drive. Get to your next destination and your next game. We love talking about you. I hate going to funerals in the fall and in the spring. Don't text and drive. Don't be not smart when you're behind the wheel. Also, we are on iTunes, correct, Case?
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about this. iTunes, subscribe to Prep Sports Now. Get it right on your iPhone. iTunes. Just hit subscribe for us. It would be huge. We were really pretty blown away by what the numbers got in the first week, and we'd love if you continued to subscribe. And I think you can even review us on there. So if you want to give us 5 stars, that would be
major. There was the review option. Could we go review ourselves?
We're going to have to stay more on point from now on. And I also think that it's not that it matters, because you got the point across very well. I'd like to compliment you on getting our sponsor's point across, but I think it's eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Oh. You said hands on the wheel first.
All right, my fault.
All right.
Well, thanks to our friends over there for sponsoring us this year. We couldn't do without you, and we really appreciate it.
Nevada Department of Public Safety, doing good things.
Yes.
All right, let's start with the picks. You have this game at top. I haven't actually looked at the schedule, so is this the Thursday night game?
It is,
Coronado and Silverado. Pretty good one for a Thursday night game. Both these teams don't really know what to expect. They lost a lot. They should look a little bit different this year. On the first podcast of the year, I said Silverado was my big sleeper. I actually picked them to win the Northeast, which I very much regret now. But I can't back off of them after one game, so I've got Silverado in a close one.
I also have the game being close, but I take Coronado. I just think that Coronado is on the verge of being a quality team. Brad Talich is the new coach. He was their D coordinator last year. He was the only coach to touch that defense and look at how good defensively they were. Offensively awful. They tried to address it this year. We'll see how it looks Thursday on TV, but I'll take the Cougars.
I ran into a couple of kids from Coronado at the Canyon Springs game, and I told them I would give them a shout-out, and now I totally forgot their names. So I apologize. I'm sure they'll be great. Hit me up on Twitter, and then maybe next time we'll talk about you on the podcast. All right, so we split on that one. Next game, Las Vegas and Desert Oasis. I think you're crazy. Maybe this should be our $5 game of the week.
Can we get a chant going at least?
What?
Vegas rocks the house. Vegas rocks the house. Remember that?
Yeah, I didn't miss it. You have Vegas winning by 24. I think it's going to be much closer than that. I'm still picking Vegas, but what do you want to make the line on this game?
Let's just review real fast. Last week's game of the week was Pick'em Foothill Canyon.
That's true.
Canyon won, who I had, 42-6.
That's true.
The week before, I had Chaparral plus points, and they won straight up. So I will take the Vegas Wildcats to make a statement with their new quarterback, with their new running back, with steady Vince Castro and steady Josh Mayfield as wide receivers. I will take and I will lay points with the Wildcats.
How many points are
you
going to lay?
You tell me. What do you think?
I think they should be, based on you picking them by 24 points, I think they should be more than a 2-touchdown favorite.
I agree with you.
All right, so
16?
I was going to say 16 and a half.
16 and a half. Okay. I will take Vegas 16 and a half, and I'm writing it on the erase board.
All right. I will be at this game, so I guess I have something to cheer for. I think Vegas will win, but and not cheer. Of course, I don't cheer in any game, but I think it'll make it more interesting. I think Vegas will win pretty easily, but I could see it being close at the end of the game and Vegas having to pull it out at the end. Next game, we have a lot more agreement than the first two. Green Valley at Arborview. Like I said, I think the Aggies are the third, maybe the second best team in town, because I heard they got Liberty pretty well in their scrimmage. So.
I don't say that. That is a real touchy subject at Liberty. They weren't playing their ones. They were just going through some plays and trying to figure out who
I'm
was
just
who.
Saying what I heard. What I heard.
I heard the same thing, but I talked to my people at Liberty, and they say they want Arborview and Liberty, they need to just go somewhere and fight it out.
You're saying they should fight on the
fight.
Podcast?
Yes.
I think by fight you mean play football,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Go get it done. I mean, because those two schools, each think they get the best of each other.
That's what I mean. So how I guess I shouldn't have brought it up because there's two conflicting stories here. But I think Arborview is easily the number three team in town. And I don't think you could blame anyone for putting them number two. I mean, they did smack Liberty around last year.
And in the scrimmage, allegedly.
Allegedly. All right. I got Arborview by multiple touchdowns.
I have them by 40 points. I told a few folks from Green Valley last month that they had no chance against Arborview because obviously Arborview is just going to push them around at the line of scrimmage. Arborview is one of the stronger teams in town, and Green Valley going to be starting a first-time quarterback. They lose Aaron Love, the tailback. It's not even going to be close, maybe even a running clock.
Aaron Love, our friend on Twitter, is not going to be happy with you for proclaiming the 40 points and sticking to it. But that's all right. We'll go basic at Rancho. I think that this one, wow, you have the margin 40 in this one too. I think basic will beat Rancho pretty bad as well.
I think they will too. I think basic is, if they could play defense, they've got two great offensive players in Boyd and Johnson. And we saw what they did to your Canyon Springs Pioneers last year in the playoffs. And I
picked them to beat Canyon Springs in the playoffs
last
year.
Well, I'm just saying, but you're high on Canyon right now. That's true. So I'll take basic big. I don't think there's much argument.
All right, Spring Valley at Valley. I'm actually pretty interested in this game. I think it could go either way.
I think it could go either way, too. I missed all of the Spring Valley Chaparral game last week because we were covering the UNLV game. So I didn't get a chance to see Spring Valley. You tell me the new quarterback is supposed to be pretty good. I've never seen him play.
His brother went to Kansas, my alma mater, for a short period of time.
And Case has got yet another Kansas shirt on today. So forgive me if I cry here on the podcast. But I think Valley, and I say this in our picks, is a dark horse to make some noise in the Northeast. And I'm going to stick with my picks. I think Valley is going to win this one.
I can respect that. I think Spring Valley, though, I think they're going to play a little bit better than they did the first game. I think they actually do have some things to hang their hat on, I guess, a little bit. I think their offense is going to get better. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. Guy's been around town a long time whose name escapes me. I know his nickname is Ice.
Isola.
John Ice Isola. I think the offense is going to be turned around. I think Spring Valley will get a win here. Centennial at Durango. Not our game of the week. I personally think it's the game of the week, though, but we couldn't do Centennial 2 weeks in a row.
I agree with you. We got to spread around the camera love. We're also teaming with our television partners at Channel 3 KSNV for the game of the week. And since we kind of both think Centennial is going to win, we can't have Centennial on TV back-to-back weeks. I'll tell you what, we could talk about this game till we're blue in the face. I really think Centennial needs to be on guard. If they have a hangover from the Palo win, if they feel accomplished because of the Palo win, this one's going to get away from them. The game was in August against Palo. It's just one game. You've got to move on. You got to take this Durango challenge. Durango, they're not a deep team at all, but they've got two or three legit good players, McQuaig, Marcus Williams. And company.
Yeah,
they accounted for 5 touchdowns last week. And I just think the speed is going to give Centennial a problem. I got them winning barely, but if they lost, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, some other guys to look out for at Durango. The linebacker, Gene Germain. Jonathan Calderon, I think he plays offense and defense too. They got some really good pieces, and I really want to pick them in this game. I actually think I may have picked them if Centennial lost, because we saw Centennial lose a few games back-to-back at the beginning of last season, didn't deal with it all that well. But I think Centennial, I think the high from beating Palo is actually going to help them be motivated this week in practice. I think that I think they probably have a slight talent advantage, like you said, and I have Centennial winning a one-point game, same as you. I guess we both just picked 1 point to show how close we thought it'd be.
Okay, good point.
All right, Bonanza at Palo Verde. We can go through this one fast. I've got Palo Verde shutting out Bonanza 42-0.
I have 53-7. Either Durango's real good or Bonanza's not as good as we thought. I've used that line 3 times today. Palo Verde gets a W finally.
I feel like this next one is a setup game because you always love Del Sol. I always love Cimarron. Of course, you picked Del Sol to win by 14, so what do I have to do? I have to pick Cimarron, even though I'm not sure I believe it. The thing is, though, they played Cheyenne pretty closely, and I think people aren't realizing that. It was 14-7, I think, at halftime, maybe 14-6. Cimarron was right in it until the end. So I can see the Spartans beating the Dragons here. I wouldn't bet on it, but I've got to take the Spartans.
I see your logic and I respect your logic. I say Cimarron has an advantage in the fact that this will be Del Sol's first game, so Cimarron has kind of got those first game mistakes out of the way. I think Del Sol's poor effort last year, where they missed the playoffs, is going to have them motivated to come out this year. Last year, their line was not Del Sol-esque. This year, it's a lot better. Last year, they were stuck with a quarterback that didn't pan out the way it should have. This year, they've got that taken care of. And I think this might be the old Del Sol that we know and love, that was the powerhouse in the Southeast before Liberty came. And I think this 14-point margin might even be a conservative estimate.
I usually don't like repeating what I put in the picks blog for the in the podcast, but I got to ask you. I think it was just last week we sat in here and you told me you were never going to pick against Cheyenne. Now this week you have them losing by 31. What's the deal? Come on.
That was a typo first. It should have been 34, but instead of 14.
Wait, say that again.
I had them losing 42-34.
Okay, 42-34. All right. Well, then I guess I can't call you out as much. I should call myself out because I messed up your score.
No. I typed it in there wrong. Look, oh, even have the 14.
Oh, okay. Yes. So it's your own fault. I looked at this 40. If Brewer gives me his picks every Monday to give you some, or Tuesday in this case, because Labor Day, to give you some behind the scenes. He sends me his picks, and I compile it. And I saw 43-12 against this team he just will not stop talking about in Cheyenne. And I'm just wondering, you know, what gives?
Yeah, my logic was it was going to be a shootout. Because Ayala from Chino Hills, California, has beaten both its opponents pretty handily, scored a lot of points. Did a little research. I think Cheyenne's going to have its hands full against the California competition.
All right, I have a 34-21, so I have a little bit, I guess, what you were thinking. But it's published as 43-12 now.
And that's what we'll stick with.
Maybe the Desert Shields will get some motivation off of that. Moapa Valley at Faith Lutheran. Faith Lutheran 1-1. They kind of upset that team in Colorado, but then fell last week to Boulder City, who I think we really slept on at the beginning of the year. They have a great defense. So can Faith Lutheran bounce back here against Moapa Valley?
I think that Faith Lutheran's not as bad as that Boulder City outcome. I think the fact that Faith had to travel from Colorado back to town probably factored in a little bit to the loss. With that said, I don't think Moapa's losing this game. They just run the ball too well. They're too technically sound.
Yep, I've got Moapa too. Virgin Valley at Mojave. Virgin Valley opened their first two games at home. Now they're on the road.
And I'm very curious to see how they play on the road. Got to give Mojave a shout-out, some props, because they rallied past Desert Pines last week. Desert Pines gets tired at the end of games because they're just not in shape. It's that simple. And you got to give Mojave a lot of credit. They're a tough team to figure out. They lose to Boulder. They come back and beat DP. I'm going to go upset special. Give me Mojave based on Virgin having to travel for the first time. New coach, first roadie into Vegas.
I don't see it, and this is why. I think that Mojave might have some athletes, but Virgin, I think, is really going to cause some problems with their offense. I mean, they're running this spread, and they're throwing for a ton of yards. I haven't seen anything to indicate that Mojave's ready for that kind of passing attack.
I don't disagree with you. I went out on a limb to pick an upset. How about Moapa, Virgin, and Boulder all having great years?
Yeah, I'm really excited for when those teams play each other, because Boulder kind of got blown out by those two the last couple years. But this year, I think it's a lot more even, and I think we could see some upsets in there. That's about the time of the podcast that Brewer accidentally hits the microphone every week, so we apologize. We'll go on to the next game, Boulder City and Pahrump Valley. I feel like we've talked about Boulder City a lot, but just to continue, Xavier Steele had 10 carries for like 250 yards last week. Michael Kelso and DJ Koopman both are really good linebackers and fullbacks. I think Boulder City's really having a bounce back year. And how about this? They've won three games the last 2 years. They're going to win their third in their third game this year and beat Pahrump Valley.
Ditto. Congrats, Boulder City. I got them winning big.
All right, Chaparral and Western. How much does it hurt you knowing how close Chaparral is to a 3-0 start to the year? I mean, they really – should have won that Spring Valley game from a lot of reports, and they're certainly going to beat Western, who's hapless right now.
Yeah, it's turnovers at any level in football kill you. Chaparral had the turnover bug. When you're improving like Shap is, any little mistake hurts you. They learn that the hard way. Western isn't that good. Shap should win. They're 2-1. They hadn't won two games since who knows.
Right. So Donnie Davis, the revenge angle, not going to work. Going back to the old digs.
Unlikely.
All right, Sunrise Mountain at El Dorado. El Dorado opening the season with Sunrise Mountain and Chaparral. I think that's kind of good. Two winnable games for them to start the year. I'm not saying they'll necessarily beat Shap in the Clee game, but it'll be interesting. Their schedule gets so tough after that, so I certainly think they're going to take advantage and win this one.
I think they will. Let's be honest. Sunrise Mountain should have never opened. All those kids on that team should be playing at El Dorado. And then El Dorado, who I've nicknamed the sacrificial lambs in their league, wouldn't be faced with the situation. If Mike Uzane and Julian Jacobs don't make a run to the Sunrise Championship game in Hoop 2 years ago, El Dorado doesn't have enough points. They're playing down on the lower level where some feel they belong.
What about that kid Daquan Thrower? He's on that team too, right?
Daquan awesome. Thrower, yeah, okay. It's Mike Uzane's fault. That's it.
All right.
You forgot about the Desert Pines game.
Oh, yeah, okay. Legacy, wow, that could have just as easily been Desert Pines. That's crazy how that changed it. All right, well, anyway, Legacy at Shadow Ridge. Shadow Ridge maybe bouncing back and have a better year, but I don't see them beating Legacy and San Diego State bound Randy Ricks.
I don't think Legacy. I think Legacy's a lot better than people think they are. I'm interested to check them out in person this year because I'll never drive out there for a game.
Are you going out to Shadow Ridge on Friday?
I'm never going out to Shadow Ridge either. And Coach Snyder, if you're out there, my cell number is 501-2389. Give us a holler after the games. Thank you.
Desert Pines at Clark. I think we're going to agree on this. Desert Pines going to get back on track here.
I agree. Like I said earlier, I think DP, if you play the first two games they lost against My Cheyenne, Desert Shields, and against Mojave at the end of the year, I think DP puts up more of a fight. I was at the Cheyenne game. Their dogs just got tired.
What if they lose to Clark?
I would be shocked.
Clark, really tough open to the year against Moapa and Virgin. Lost both those games big. We were saying we wanted to see how the scores matched up. Well, Moapa outdid Virgin a little bit against Clark, right?
They did, and apparently they held Clark's good tail back in check, and Virgin wasn't able to. The rivalry's brewing in that Hammer game, let me tell you.
I can't wait for Moapa.
But I guess the question is now – does any of these teams have a chance against Tahoe Truckee?
I'd say Truckee's got to be the favorite from what I hear, right?
From one man, though. I mean, like Tahoe guy says they're the team to beat, and possibly they are. I still like to see them try to contain Milo Lewis. It's that simple. I think Moapa might be better than Cheyenne down here, but Moapa mentally is defeated when they play Tahoe Truckee. Tahoe's beat them that many straight times in the playoffs. But I think a new Cheyenne team with some of that North Las Vegas swagger, who knows? Case Kiefer.
There you go. Well, we're looking forward to how the season plays out. We'll be here every week breaking it down. Presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety, Prep Sports Now. Thanks for listening.
Wildcats -16.5.